Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Access Astrology. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I am speaking to you from Ronan, Montana, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Ann
Ortley, speaking to you from Boca Ciega Bay down here in Florida, where we have a lovely temperature of 83 degrees and clear. It's very cool. So it's all moving forward. We're in this whole new adventure time where everything's like, woo-hoo! So hopefully everybody's really feeling it. We are in eclipse season. We are, you know, having Mercury stationing. We are having Jupiter entering a new sign. We are having all these rocking and rolling aspects in the heavens, and the world is a wild and crazy place.
Yeah. And it is a wild and crazy place. And we have in that eclipse coming up that's going to be a bit of a doozy. So before we get started on that, Mercury retrograde today. Today it is stationary. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, it's stationary, turning retrograde, holding absolutely still. And you said you've already had some Mercury retrograde follies?
I have. And I just posted something to the internet I didn't want to post. Yeah, I've had a whole bunch of Mercury retrograde crap. So I'm kind of like, oy my god. So it's all good. It's part of the, you know, it's just that kind of day. You know, what are you going to do? So.
And we were, we also have Mark Wolps on the phone. Hi, Mark.
Yeah. You can see, you saw him. Heather, you saw him, so I didn't, but you did. That's good.
As third co-host. Okay. Hi. How you doing, Mark?
Good. Doing well. I got my second booster today.
Oh,
cool. That's exciting.
So how are you feeling?
Well, my arm is sore, but that's all.
Yeah, that's good. My whole family came down with COVID last week, a week and a half ago. They, first day out of the box, they've been so very careful. Everybody's had all their shots, but my son-in-law went off to a baseball game, and my granddaughter, oldest granddaughter, went to a movie music venue, and they all came down and gave it to COVID faster than the speed of light. So, but everybody recovered, you know, in the sixth day, which used to be when your health would tank with the vaccinations, they got better. Mm-hmm. And they all got sick, but they didn't get super, super sick.
Right.
Like we did back in the days before the vaccines. So they've made it through and out the other side, and it's just that this new variant is so incredibly infectious before any symptoms show up and is spreading.
Right.
And no one's reporting it anymore because they can get their tests at home. So
right,
it looks like it's going down when it's not. But it's a lot easier than it was.
I'm hearing from lots of people who made it this far and all of a sudden they got it.
Mercury retrograde, and we're going back to, you know, like, oh, God, here we are again. But it is very different. It's, you know, it's a week, not 3 weeks.
And it's not like you're, and it's not like you're dying. You've got some, well, I mean, some people still are because there's people that are not vaccinated. But if you are vaccinated, it also is, you know, it's good. And this version, I believe the Omicron is not as deadly, which is actually good.
Right.
They say it hits
the bronchi, not the lungs. So it's more upper respiratory, you know, sinus and bronchi and not the lungs. So it's not as quite as dangerous. It's just uncomfortable.
Right.
This, and with Jupiter conjunct Neptune last week and Mars conjunct Neptune this week, that permeability, the feeling overwhelmed and so emotional for so many people. And with Mercury retrograde and all those planets in Pisces, I'm hearing such an overwhelmed and PTSD response for women dealing with the, you know, regressive comments from the Supreme Court and feeling like, oh, my God, we're back here again. Venus went into Aries, Mars is in Pisces, and so that vulnerability that's bringing out a fierceness in response with that Venus in Aries can be pretty intense.
Jupiter goes into Aries tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That should add a positive spin to whatever action we want to take.
Or a
flammability to it. There is a many, there's women's marches starting on the 14th, and there's going to be some major action taken in the months ahead, and I think that Jupiter-Venus conjunction in Aries is going to be key to that process.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, it's we're really seeing, he referenced a bill. I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live. He referenced a bill that's like hundreds of years old, and it's kind of like, really? Like, what is the deal with that? You know, why are we doing this? Like, you're kidding me, right? So there's this whole energy of rolling back. And I know, Heather, you always are very conciliatory on this stuff, going two steps forward, one step back. That said, man, you know, this feels like a thousand.
It's so frustrating. But also, you know, the idea that what he's quoting is a Catholic script from the 13th century. This is not a theocracy.
No.
And, you know, one of the things we're talking about as I think, you know, this is part of the last gasp of Pluto in Capricorn. And it's not that I'm conciliatory. It's that I don't want to give up hope.
Right.
And there's a difference to that. My moon in Aries does not want to give up hope. So I'm going to, like, we're going to keep going. We just, you know, it sucks. And here we are back again. Now let's move forward. So I'm seeing that. And this eclipse is going to be interesting, and it's right over the heart of America. The most intense part is over the East Coast in 24 Scorpio Taurus, and they'll be going to be squaring Saturn. It's a T-square with Saturn. So that feels like it's, you know, bringing up all those power issues, and how are we going to reorganize the power concept. I've been talking to people about developing in the Constitution a body autonomy clause about what, you know, the questions of, do you have a right to, where can they make you wear a mask, and where can you insist that it's yours, you know, on your own body and your own property. They can ask you to you can choose not to have a vaccination, but that doesn't mean they have to let you in anywhere. You know, you can choose your body as long, your body is your body. And the old scriptures all said that, you know, a fetus is not an independent being until it can live on its own, survive on its own. So all of you, what is your body autonomy? How do you have, what's your right at the end of life? What's your right to vaccine? What's your right to, you know, all of those pieces fit together, and it's hard to find a way of phrasing it that's consistent. That doesn't matter if you're Republican, because the Republicans have, you know, the more conservative people have a very strict sense of body autonomy about some things and not others. And so do the liberals, different ones, but we have to kind of come up with a consensus on what does body autonomy and freedom mean. And I'm wondering if that's going to happen as Pluto goes into Aquarius.
Yeah, totally.
Because we're stepping out of that patriarchal reframe and into a more kind of like egalitarian, develop a policy about it.
The knee-jerk kind of programmatic stuff, which was Pluto going into Aquarius.
Right.
There'd be more of a willingness to look for balanced solutions.
And I think that, well, I think the Pluto in Aquarius, you know, we look at the Pluto return for the United States, it goes from a very seventh house focus Western chart into a very first quadrant focus with all these planets in Capricorn. And it's, Capricorn is the sign of sovereignty. It's also a sign that says, okay, do I have power over you? And when you have all these planets in the first house, second house in Capricorn, and lovely little Saturn in Aquarius sitting on the U.S. moon in Aquarius, it's going to be like, you know, don't fence me in. Don't tell me what to do. Don't say, you know, I get life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness like you do. Like, my pursuit of happiness is this, your pursuit of happiness is that. And I think that energy with, you know, I mean, as I'm a Catholic, I raised as a Catholic, and I, when I was fertile back in my old days, I would say to people, you need to know, I'm not ever going to be able to have an abortion. So, you know, be really careful because I use diaphragm. Diaphragms fail. Man, everybody wore a bag, mm-hmm. you know, it was kind of like, because mm-hmm. they were guarding the sperm. That said, I don't really feel it's my place to tell people what they can do. And I also have supported quite a few people mm-hmm. in my life, either financially mm-hmm. bringing them to the abortion clinic or supporting mm-hmm. them in some way, shape or form, because I think they have the right to choose. And in all cases, everybody that I went through the process with, where they were thinking about it or talking about it, it was thought about, and it was not a decision easily made, but they were very clear, you know. And mm-hmm. I think we do a disservice by thinking women just love to go have abortions. I remember one of my dad's medical school colleagues said, you know, physically it's the safest form of birth control because it actually has the least impact, you know, compared to infections from IUDs or pills, doing stuff, you know, birth control pills is the safest, guaranteed to mm-hmm, work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's got this whole component with it. And he was a Catholic guy. So he was a guy in OBGYN. So I think it's really, we do a disservice saying women can't make their own decisions and that we should somehow be legislated on. And I'm like, hey, you know, vasectomy is reversible. There's a meme going around. You guys go get a vasectomy. Mm-hmm. And I think if a woman chooses to terminate a pregnancy and she gets arrested, I think the husband should get arrested or the boyfriend or the sperm donor, whoever it is. We can get the DNA and they should go to jail too. And then we're going to have people stepping up and going, okay, I'm on it. But this whole thing, there was a guy, the governor of Alabama, I think, or Mississippi, one of them was on, and they were talking, and also Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas, and it's like, we're going to do this. I'm like, you know what? We had that with mental health issues. We closed down all the facilities for mental health, and we said, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, we're going to build community housing, and we didn't do it, which is why we have so many mentally ill people on the streets. You don't shut it off and then say, oh, we're going to get to it one of these days. You go, no, it's a cost of doing business. You want to do that, you put $200,000 in the bank for every baby that comes in this country that the person can draw in and help raise that child. Children are expensive. And, you know, it's like, make us have them, then pay for it. Don't just say, oh,
but
yes,
you see,
go ahead.
That's if you want a healthy country.
Right.
But if you mm-hmm. want a large group of, one person pointed out, there will mm-hmm. always be a place for rich people to deal with their yeah. unwanted pregnancies. But yeah. for the majority of people, if you are found to have done had an abortion, and then now you are a felon, and felons can't vote, mm-hmm. then suddenly you're taking the women and the women who do not have the money to find a creative way to solve that problem and making them unable to vote. What does that mean? That if you keep a large group of people without power, financial power, social power, emotional power, and I think that's the key of Pluto and Capricorn,
yeah.
is looking mm-hmm. at the source of power and the source of structure, where does the structure of the systems empower us and actually work for the health of the people? Mm-hmm. Or where does Pluto and Capricorn talk about the role of the dictator, you know, where people want peace because there are simple rules and somebody's enforcing them and a lot of people aren't really paying attention to them. But, you know, mm-hmm. that oppressive structure, or yeah. is it a structure that supports the people? And I think, right. you know, when our country was formed, we were fighting 2 decades of a misuse of Pluto and Capricorn. And we were born, you know, 247 years ago, according, you know, to last at this, the last time Pluto was at this place in Capricorn. And then we tried to form a country, and our wonderful Constitution was the mission statement of that process. How do you make a more perfect union and make all people equal and make it so you actually have religious freedom for people? And as you know, several people, there are many religions that say a woman's body is hers, and if a pregnancy is not healthy, not for her health, and it's hers to let go of, where is their religious freedom if this law is intact?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's many, many ways, you know, they've cut out birth control and they've, you know, sex education in the schools, and then they want this. This is all, you know, if we can get back down to how do you empower the individual and the individual and educate the individual to make good decisions in the body politic. Because
mm-hmm.
with Aquarius, you've got the body politic. The voice of the people is stronger and stronger. If they are educated, it's a wise voice. If they are not, if they are not informed, then they can make as bad a decision as any group of people can make. So I'm really
mm-hmm.
kind of hoping that we can take it into that place. And again, we're back here in the circle. I always think of it as a spiral. You know, we may be only a millimeter out from the last time we were here on the circle, but we're a millimeter out. How do we take it with Mercury retrograde? Can we bring our thoughts back to, you know, well, we've done it before. I don't want to do it again, but if we have to, we have to.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna stay in the oppressive situation. We're gonna do this all over again if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just pulled for those of you who want Sam Alito's chart, the author of The Opinion.
Mm-hmm.
His birth chart is. Where is it? It is, here we go. He was born on April 1st, 1950, and his birth time is 72. It's got a birth certificate of A.
Mm-hmm.
April 1st, 1950, 12:56 a.m. in Trenton, New Jersey, with an Aries sun, an 18-degree Virgo moon. Interestingly, that's the Neptune for the United States, and a 1-degree Capricorn, and then a 25-degree Libra midheaven, which is, of course, getting the Pluto square.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's got an interesting chart. Stellium in Virgo, Saturn, Moon,
yeah,
Mars.
And, yeah, and Saturn, Moon, Mars conjunct with Juno up in the 8th and 9th house, with Pluto in
mm-hmm.
the 8th house. Interesting that, mm-hmm. that Pluto in the 8th house forms a grand trine with Ceres, Hygieia, and Chiron all conjunct in his 12th, and with his sun and his, mm-hmm. yeah, his Mercury at 15 Aries. So,
and he's born,
yeah.
He's born on an eclipse. And we're having an eclipse now, so his chart's highly activated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know,
yeah.
this is why one person makes a difference, folks. Remember, you can make a difference in your world, too, because just look at what this guy just did. And we're like, okay. And, of course, that Moon, Virgo, Mars in the 8th and 9th house, it's kind of, and then the Neptune fundamentalism up there. I'm like, yeah, were you in the Inquisition in a past life, old guy? You know, let's throw those women
yeah.
in
yep,
the water.
Yep, yep.
You know?
He has a Venus-Jupiter conjunct in Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
and I've noticed that, you know, it sounds like free women, but I've noticed that Venus-Jupiter, when Venus and Jupiter conjunct in the sky, it can be free women, lots of love, or it can be anger, you know, at women, and,
yeah,
you know, like wanting something else from them. So he's got Moon at the top of the chart and Venus-Jupiter
mm-hmm.
conjunct in the second house. There's
right.
something about his relationship with women that has always been a little off.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturn is sitting right on his Venus right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to tie you up and pin you down. There's a great astrologer
right.
named Bernadette Brady, and she always
mm-hmm.
talks about that constellation in the sky, which is women in chains. And she said,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes it's without chains and sometimes it's with chains, but they like to put the chains around the woman up there. So, yeah, so look at his chart. This is what...
I also see that his progressed moon has just conjunct Uranus, so he's
yeah.
made this sort of radical shift for him out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it's always up to you. He could have done this
mm-hmm.
and said, oh, I want to stand up and help, you know, healthy women do good things in the world rather than
mm-hmm.
this flashback. Splashback. My kids gave me for Mother's Day a present. There's a StoryWorth where they send you a question a week and you fill it out and send it. You write your story back to them, and at the end of the year, they put together a book of all of your answers. It's like she's interviewing me one question a week for a book for the grandkids. So Mercury goes retrograde, and the first question was, what are your memories of your mother? And so I spent today with Mercury stationary, like way too many memories coming up that I hadn't thought of in a long time. So I think all of us might, you know, notice the memories coming up. Don't get lost in the bad ones. You know, remember what's worth to check in with and to work with. But keep your feet here in the present moment.
Right. What's that forward look like for you? It's an interesting.
What were you saying, Mark?
Don't get caught in the past. The rest is always changing. It depends on how you're looking at it.
Right. What that forward looks like. I know I was sitting yesterday, I got some food and went out and sat by the pool and watched the sunset. And I was sitting there kind of muttering to myself about something and blah, 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 blah. And then I thought, you know what? I keep, you know, chewing that like a dog with a bone, and I need to put it down and maybe go find a hole and bury it, you know. And that, you know, I think that's also, it's very ruminative in a good way or a bad way. You know, people are ruminating on, whoa, what was that? And remember, Mercury is retrograde. So he's also digging around in stuff. And because he's, he's a trickster energy right now, he's trying to Pluto. So this is also really reminiscent for many people of power dynamics that are unresolved. Where they they were subjected to some kind of abuse of power. And that's also, I think, part of the trigger. And more importantly, Uranus is on a world point. So in the same way that Alito's Uranus is on a world point and his ascendant is, and of course, if we adjusted his birth time by a minute, you know, it would be on a world point exact. But we're having Uranus by transit right now.
Would you explain to our lovely audience what a world point is?
World point are where events happen that everybody stops and takes notice. So Uranus, which is the planet of castration and separation and ending things. Go back to the myths, sudden understanding changes. But, you know, when my cats were pregnant, you know, or were getting altered, they all had Uranus Mars transits. They were getting their parts cut off. So we're literally saying we're going to, you know, you can't get that part cut off. We're reversing it. But it's on a world point. World point means the whole world stops and takes notice. And we pay attention when planets are on world points. So Jupiter's about to go on a world point. Ceres enters a world point later this week at zero Cancer and activates that. And Ceres is going to be on Alito's Uranus. So it'll be interested because I guess the Supreme Court justices are a little upset that everybody's protesting in front of their houses. I'm like, hey, free speech, baby. So we'll see what happens because it's a very volatile energy. And he's also having Pluto trine his Mars. So, you know, and Jupiter in conjunct his Mars. So there's a lot of very potent kind of crazy stuff out there. And he also has Lilith at 2 degrees of Taurus. So there's energy of feisty, rah, rah, rah. But when it's on a world point, everybody notices, everybody takes action, everybody pays attention because it's the cardinal axis is of 0 and 23 of the cardinal. And then it is the fixed axis, the fixed signs at 15 of the fixed, and then of the mutable, it's 7.5. So if you have planets at those points, those planets, those houses, that area of your chart can be something you're very well known for. And so in his case, he's got Uranus on the zero point of Cancer. Cancer is mother, and Uranus is breaking precedent, you know. So, all good. Let's go back to that treaty from the 1300s and use that as law here in the United States. I'm good with it, you know.
So good. Change.
Yeah, also with eclipses, we have the awareness and then we have the emotions. So that's the one we're doing this time because the awareness of the new moon and then the emotions of the full moon, which is another week out next week. And that's, of course, on its Scorpio. And if we go back to when the election, when the case was argued in November, that was Scorpio. And then we have the eclipse now echoing that. And then, of course, the next eclipse is the election on Election Day in this November. So we'll see. This is definitely stirring up stuff. And that's what eclipses do. They make you go, I've got to do something. I've got to take action. And sometimes we shouldn't. So, Mark, you always have a great energy with eclipses. You have a great description of them.
Which one?
I don't know, all of them. Every time you talk about eclipses, I calm down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they're really it's a natural phenomenon, and it involves the three biggest elements in our sky, which is the sun, the moon, and the earth. And it's the way they line up. When they all line up their energies together, we produce something. It's a flashpoint.
Yeah. I think of it as unsticking stuck energy, that it acts like astrological acupuncture. And if there's nothing stuck, then nothing needs to come unstuck. But if something's been holding or the energy's been, you know, it's like an earthquake. If the earthquake hasn't been resisting, then the tectonic plates just flow. If they have been resisting, then there's a lot of tension built up, and when they slip, they go boom. And I think that's what, so we can look at our lives and notice where we have those 24 to 25 degrees of fixed signs, what houses those are in, and take a look at our lives to see if there's anything stuck there that we can prepare for or unstick, or notice where how we can use it to unstick energy and move us where we want to go. I always think of when we got this kind of volatile energy shifting, it really helps to have to kind of feel with our heart, not get attached with our will, but feel with our heart where we could be going, what's the potential in our situation, and where we can take this next.
Right.
There's one family I'm following, working with, where both parents are sick, and the dad, who's 91, is in the hospital, who has a 24, 25 degree Sun-Mercury conjunction in Taurus, and I don't think he's going to make it the weekend. But, you know, he's survived, you know, the doctors thought he was dying 10 times in the last year. And so I think this may help him cross over and let go. Everybody in the family has something at that degree. But for most people, may just be that they finally, you know, they do some spring cleaning, or they, you know, compost their yard. It can be something small, but look at where things are stuck in your life, especially in the houses, in those fixed sign houses, and imagine where you want to take it from here.
Yeah.
Now, we don't really have time to take anybody tonight, and I apologize for all of those that have been patiently waiting this whole time. We've got this exciting conversation, so I'm going to ask you all to think about where you have something at those fixed degrees, and we would love to hear from you, either email or call in next week, and we'll try to get to more people, of how did you experience this eclipse, and how are you experiencing Mercury retrograde? If you email me at starcodesheartcodes@gmail.com, I will compile the list and present it next week, and we can hear from our audience how Mercury retrograde is affecting them, and how and what houses this eclipse was hitting, and how it affected you.
I think that's a good idea, Heather, yeah. Because the energy is so potent, and it really is an earthquake energy. You know, we're all having an earthquake somewhere in our chart where we're getting shaken up in a different way. And I think, and a lot of departures, you know, whether it's you're choosing to quit a job, you're leaving a relationship, you just don't want to do something anymore because your time is finished. And also think back 19 years to 2003, and 19 years before that to 84, and 19 years before that to 65, because the lunations were at those degrees. And it is big. It rocks your world. you know? So we want to love each other, be a little extra kind, because everybody's running a little tense right now, a little fraught.
So we have... say goodnight. We've got 7 seconds left. This is Heather from Montana and Mark.
Mark Wolfs from New York City.
And Ann Ortley from Florida. Yay. So wishing you all a great eclipse. Yep.
We'll see you all next week. Take care.
The eclipses are here. The eclipses are here. Yay. What was that, Mark?
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
We'll listen to your stories next week.
Yeah,
take
we'll
care.
Listen to your stories. Bye-bye. All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great week.